You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
So, Quincy.
Yes, Ben.
As I understand it, we both have stories this week that are about surprising social media presences. That's all I can, I feel like that's the most general thing I can say.
Yes, that's the common thread, I guess, of this endless thread episode.
That's right. And am I accurate in describing your story, not really knowing anything about it? Does that fit under this theme, shall we say?
Yes, it fits under that umbrella, to where even the folks who I talk to are surprised themselves. So,
Quincy, I'm going to tell you about the account that got me back onto Instagram.
Okay. Well, how long were you off of Instagram?
I've been off of Instagram, I want to say, for like maybe 3 years.
Oh, okay. I'm intrigued. Wow.
So the reason I got off, and I was on Instagram a fair bit, and I think it was like, you know, it makes sense that Instagram is owned by I guess we call it Meta now. Mm-hmm. Because like my sort of entrance to Instagram was very similar to my entrance to Facebook, which was like, oh, like I have friends here. I will follow my friends on this platform. And as we are all geographically separated, I will understand and know what they are doing. And that will give me great joy to watch what they are doing and what's happening in their lives and stay connected. Right. Sort of a normal, maybe slightly old fashioned, but normal social media instinct, right? And I'll say that, like, so when I had my kids, Instagram all of a sudden got somehow very sad for me.
In what way?
So I decided not to put my kids on social media. That was a decision I made because I want them to have control over their own data. But what I did, you know, when you have kids, you go into this kind of baby bunker sometimes, which is kind of what I felt like I was in. You know, I was really focused. It was really small. You know, I stopped seeing a lot of my friends as often. I stopped traveling as often. And as I was sort of focusing on my young family, I started to find that Instagram was like not that fun for me to look at, because what kept happening to me is I kept feeling kind of bad about myself because I was watching all of these amazing things that my friends were doing.
Right.
And I feel like, you know, over time we've kind of learned obviously about how Instagram and, you know, visual social media can do this kind of thing or have an impact in this way.
Of validation, like, and self-worth, those kinds of things.
Yeah. And for me, it was like this like effect of like, oh, my life sucks because look at these beautiful lives. So I got off Instagram. But, plot twist of some kind, the way that I stay in contact with a lot of my friends now is through group chats. And one of my group chats is like of all my close friends who I used to follow on Instagram, right? And one of those friends, who I should give credit to, his name is Rory Panagatopoulos. He's from Massachusetts. He has been posting in our group chat these Instagram posts from a user named Eggs Tyrone. Does Eggs Tyrone ring a bell to you at all?
No, but it does remind me of like Eggs Benedict, or is that a thing? I don't know. I'm not a fan of eggs, but are there eggs involved? And is there a person named Tyrone involved? If not,
well, anyway. Quincy, you're a smart man. Because I think the answer is yes and yes, but I actually only discovered this today.
Okay.
Because I never questioned who Eggs Tyrone was, why he was named Eggs Tyrone. I never questioned any of that because what I immediately saw was Eggs Tyrone's content, which is, I'm going to suggest you pull Eggs Tyrone up on Instagram if you have your phone handy.
Okay. I see a lot of, like it looks like a lot of people dancing in various regions of the planet.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So like, will you look at the what I would describe as the first one?
Okay, it looks like there is some kind of Jewish gathering.
Yeah. What are you seeing?
Okay, it looks like a band. I don't know. Should I play it?
Yes. So if you look at this video, you might assume, I mean, these are, I think they're Hasidic Jews, perhaps.
And one is in front of a keyboard and the other one is holding a microphone.
Yeah, but this is the music.
Oh, is it like hip hop?
Yeah. So these are like super hype.
And it looks like they're in some kind of banquet.
At a banquet.
Yeah.
And to me, it looks like what's actually happening is they're performing music that is traditional, but the music has been swapped out for very energetic rap music.
Interesting.
That's what we're seeing in this first one. So now if you look at the second sort of pinned post there, do you see what that is? Yeah, you should describe it.
I am watching this video of this man in a blue shirt and jeans. He's doing like...
He looks like...
This thing with his
middle
feet,
America.
Where he's like...
Yeah.
It's like a shuffle kind of... I'm not, you know, dance-ifically inclined, but he's moving really, really smoothly.
And it almost looks like Western, maybe?
Yeah, all the men are dressed the same kind of, and the women in the video have like very like traditional-looking dresses. Could it be my baggy jeans or my blue teeth that make me different
from y'all? Ain't trippin' dog, listen dog, I don't raise no bitch with y'all. But the song is Trick Daddy, I'm a Thug. So... Eggs Tyrone basically creates these videos in which people are joyfully, happily dancing. But Eggs Tyrone is making them dance, shall we say, to music that was not in the original video.
Interesting.
In these like perfect juxtapositions.
On beat and everything.
On beat and everything that sort of like flip the script on your assumptions about what people would dance to.
All right.
And what specific kinds of people would dance to what. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
There's this other one that looks like it's from a country maybe in the Middle East, maybe Iran. And the music is Boosie Webby. Webby Boosie? I actually don't know this artist. And it's called Watch My Shoes.
Okay.
But it's these guys who are all sort of dressed up in semi-formal wear. And they're all dancing together joyfully, but again, to like a song that like is not the original song they're dancing to. And for some reason, I just like, I love this account, and I will actually tweet out some examples from my Twitter account.
Okay,
if listeners want to check this out. I don't know anything about Eggs Tyrone except what I learned today, which is the origin of Eggs Tyrone is a television show called Workaholics.
Ah, yes. It's the comedian Lavelle Crawford.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know this man, but I did discover that he was on the show Workaholics, and he slept over the house of these kind of like, these like, you know, early young 20s guys in the show who are kind of like worthless and always getting into trouble. They work in an office, and this guy stays over at their house, and his name is Tyrone, maybe in real life and in the show. And they wake up after this crazy party, and Tyrone is making eggs. And so he's making Eggs Tyrone.
Interesting.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Now, I know your belly's ready for some of this Eggs Tyrone. It's off the chain, baby.
So right now, this account has 615,000 followers, I think, at this point. And I really don't know who's behind it. The bio on the account says "Welcome to Gumpville" and has a link tree where you can buy a T-shirt that says Gumpville. No idea what that is about, but it also links to an organization that supports unhoused kids called Stand Up for Kids, which is cool, obviously, and some playlists of all the Eggs Tyrone songs. No contact info though. That's it. Eggs Tyrone is a mysterious, hilarious, joy-creating Instagrammer. That's all I can really say. And I think that for me, the moral of the story is it's like, you know, no dig on my friends, but like it's all about who you follow, right? You know, it's who you follow, why you follow them, and what they mean to you. And my friend Rory Panagatopoulos has taught me that. Like if I just go out and find some users like Eggs Tyrone, I can be on Instagram and be happy. I don't need to be jealous of the lives of others. I can just enjoy some incredibly funny music and dance juxtaposition videos and just enjoy them. Yeah.
Interesting. Wow, that's a very profound sentiment.
Thanks, Quincy. All right, Quincy, I know you got a story for me.
Yeah.
So we'll come right back to that.
A lot of people spend a lot of money on things like skincare, fast fashion, and even surgery, all in the name of self-improvement. But as the price of perfection rises, when is it time to call it quits? I'm Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable, a podcast from Marketplace. This season, we dig deep into the financial trappings of self-care and the real motivations behind our spending choices. Listen to This Is Uncomfortable wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Quincy, I know you got a story for me.
So, Ben, when I say the United States Chemical Safety Board, what comes to mind? Do you know what it is?
What comes to mind for me is my sixth grade DARE class and things like just say no, don't do drugs. Oh, that's what
okay.
comes to mind for
me. It's not that. It's a federal agency that, well, I think I'll just let somebody who works there explain it.
We're an independent, non-regulatory federal agency that investigates root causes of major chemical incidents. And our mission is to drive chemical safety change to protect people and the environment.
I spoke to Shauna Lawhorn.
And I write, produce, and edit our safety videos.
Essentially, these videos look at catastrophic events. Shauna calls them low-frequency, high-impact events. So think explosions, think the Deepwater Horizon spill. So they will take these events, these, you know, catastrophic events, and they work with investigators in the department. This is a very, very small government agency.
at any one time between like 30 and 40 employees, and our budget is $13 million. So we're considered a micro agency of the federal government. We're tiny.
Small but important, it sounds like.
Exactly. And so starting in 2015, though, they noticed sort of them garnering a cult following to their YouTube channel. And their YouTube channel has over 200-something thousand subscribers. When Shauna got on board, I think she said they had maybe about 100. But they have more subscribers than the Department of Defense, which I don't know is saying much. I don't know how popular they are. They have more than...
Well, they certainly have enough funding to get some marketing That's for sure, the Department of Defense. Okay.
That's true. And they have more subscribers on YouTube than the Department of Education.
Homeland Security doesn't have these subscribers, you know. Commerce, education, we're this tiny agency that's making this huge impact. NASA, we're coming for you. But we're really far from there.
So I came across them probably years ago because, as you know, and maybe listeners might remember, that sort of my YouTube algorithm kind of curates things of, you know, where things go wrong, sort of uh-huh. like accidents. And so I've seen these videos, but you ever, you know, consume media online, but you don't know, I guess, the source of, I guess this is kind of like, you know, your story with Eggs Tyrone, where you kind of consume the content, but, you know, don't think about where it comes from. And so the other day I was on Reddit because Reddit, I'm not subscribed to it, but the subreddit Catastrophic Failure often gives me alerts on my phone. I guess a few days ago there was an explosion at a factory or plant in a place called Medford, Oklahoma.
She was in Medford shortly after flames sparked.
That's right, Adria. We still do not know what caused this fire, but we do know it has been burning since about 2 this afternoon. There are currently no injuries at this time, and there still are crews out on scene containing the fire.
Over 20 video of the smoke was on Reddit, and somebody said, I look forward to seeing the CSB video of this. And someone commented the question I had, which was, what is CSB? And so, you know, I went to the YouTube page and realized that I have been here before. And so It kind of does animations of catastrophic events. And it's been sort of like, you know, contentious within this very small government entity, whether or not to include sound effects or whether that was sensationalizing it.
And at the end of the day, I mean, these arguments were a long time ago, but at the end of the day, we realized, if there's anything we can do to pull people in, to make them realize that those animated figures that you're seeing on the screen are real people that were making decisions on probably the most stressful day of their lives.
But they came to the conclusion that they've found this formula of, you know, what works that will garner attention to their videos. And the folks who make these videos, like Shauna, didn't realize it was popular on the internet until, you know, somebody, I think an investigator, told her, hey, you know, you got a shout out, or, you know, the team got a shout out on Reddit.
It's like the PSA company blowing up.
Exactly. And she said that, you know, they found out recently that MIT uses their safety videos.
What's the most popular one?
The most popular one, should I send it to you?
Yeah.
It's an animation of from 2015. So this is the video that sort of like launched them in popularity of an ExxonMobil refinery in California.
The heavy liquid hydrocarbons are converted into lighter hydrocarbon vapors as they travel up the reactor.
And all of a sudden you can see inside some of the tanks at this oil refinery. Wow. And you can like see what's happening inside the plant. Wow, this is very professional. Their titles are like both funny, but also like kind of like eye catching.
Yeah,
like one is incompatible chemicals explosion at AB specialty silo or something like that, and the other one is it says simultaneous tragedy fire at Evergreen Packaging.
I would click on that. But
what about this one, Quincy? Silent killer.
Oh.
Hydrogen sulfide releases in Odessa, Texas.
I actually might have watched that one. But it also, there's also sort of like a balance to strike, right? Where you want to have people watch the videos, but also, you know, having sort of respect for the people who were involved in the incident that the video is about. But yeah, it's very sort of little engine that could.
All right. I like it. I feel like, Quincy, this has inspired me, at the very least, to rethink and, you know, repopulate my follows on social media.
Yeah, you got Eggs Tyrone and the Chemical Safety Board.
It's a start. It's a start.
It is. not only will, you know, you feel good with Eggs Tyrone, but, you know, maybe you'll be even more vigilant in your workplace, though you work from home. But still, there are hazards there, too. So
if I start refining any oil.
Exactly.
Our podcasting refinery, which almost never has explosions, for today's episode was myself, Quincy Walters, Kristen Torres, and it was sound designed by Paul Vikas. WBUR Podcasts also includes Amory Sievertson, Grace Tatter, Dean Russell, Nora Sachs, Emily Jankowski, Megan Cattell, and Matt Reed. We'll be back with a full-on episode next week. Stay cool forever, especially right now. It's hot.